Well, our message today is going to be in the book of Psalms, or Psalm number 46. And so I hope you have a copy of the Old Testament, and we will give attention to this tremendous psalm that is recorded for us. And if you have it and you're willing and able, I invite you to stand for the reading of Psalm number 46. For the choir director, a psalm of the sons of Korah set to Alamoth, a song. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, and though the mountains skip into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride, Selah. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling places of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. The nations made an uproar. The kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Come, behold the works of the Lord, who has wrought desolations in the earth. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow and cuts the spear in two. He burns the chariot with fire. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. And let's again go to our God in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for hearing us when we speak to you. And Father, we are so grateful that you have condescended to speak to us, that you have given us your word, inspired by your Spirit, to be written down by your apostles and prophets, so that we might hear from you and take great comfort from your message that you have already supplied for our time of need. Lord, might this psalm be a balm to our souls this morning. In Christ's name, amen. Well, as I'm sure that we are all pretty much aware, it has been quite a tumultuous time in our world lately. There have been earthquakes and storms. There have been wars that are ending, and yet they are producing more strife and less peace and safety than there were before. The ground underneath our feet, figuratively or in some place times literally, is shaking. Nations are shaking. Wars are ceasing and causing more turmoil. You know, there are a lot of big global things that are going on in our world, and they are on our mind. And you know, I don't know if it weighs on your mind, these things that are going on in like Afghanistan and Haiti. These are big deals. But maybe there's a big deal going on in your own life, a personal big thing. You know, maybe your world is in fact shaking. Well, Psalm 46 is a balm for the troubled soul. It is a quiet rest amid the loud and crazy world that is all around. Now, this psalm and the psalmist does not in any way hide the turmoil that they were experiencing or they had seen at the time. They don't whitewash things, you know, at all to cover it up. It doesn't hide the turmoil, but it does show our hiding place in the midst of all the turmoil. You see, this psalm calls out with very loud decibels over all the destruction. And it says for us to be still and to know that God is God. Against all the rumblings and all the shakings and all the cries going on in the world, this psalm cries out and says, be still and know that I am God. There are three selahs. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Three selahs in this psalm. And a selah, you might notice there in your translations, not all translations put the selahs in, but this selah is a Hebrew term, really with the kind of an uncertain meaning. So some think that it kind of means maybe a pause in the music. In the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it is translated an intermission. And so it could be that these selahs here in this psalm could be a break, a rest in the song, kind of like you have in music. I don't know how to read music, but there's these little symbols that say, you know, what to do. And maybe this selah is kind of a cue to have for the word stop, and maybe there's a little instrumental playing in the background so that both the singer and the hearer can contemplate what was just being sung. He sings a verse and then he says, Selah. Okay, let's think about this for just a little bit. Okay, and he sings some more and then there's a Selah. Okay, let's contemplate and ponder what has just been said. You know, we all need a Selah. Especially when things are very unsettled in our world. Psalm 46 doesn't dismiss the destructions in life, but it gives us instructions on how to selah when our world is unsettled. Whether it's the world around us or our personal world, this psalm mentions those things. It mentions earthquakes. It mentions wars. It mentions shaking cities. But it calls us to the unshakable truth that God is the God of the storm. And we can selah if we hide in the eye of the storm in which He is the one that is in control. And so let's think just briefly about this psalm. Notice the title. It says it's for the choir director. It's a song. You know, these psalms are inspired songs and sacred hymns. This is the inspired hymnal given to us by God Almighty. And you know, there's something so special and unique about music. I mean, music is the language of the soul. And we don't have any notes here to this song or to any of these songs. And so this kind of tells us that, you know, we have great liberty over the styles of our preferred music because it is the message of these songs, the message of this music. That is what is important. It's not the notes. It's the words. And we can put our own notes in, but there's something about the message that comes by way of music. And let me encourage you that the Psalms are a great place to go to feel the emotion of a moment. Just like songs speak to us, the Psalms should speak to us. They resonate with our real life. They are poetic expressions of praise in the midst of our problems. And so let me encourage you, if your world is shaking, to immerse yourself in the Psalms. And it will resonate with your soul. And so let's hear what the psalmist sings here in verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's our refuge. I mean, do you have a storm shelter? Do you have a place to go, a place to hide when things are getting bad? Where do you go? Where do you hide and take refuge? Where do you hide when your world is falling apart? Well, here the psalmist is saying, God is our refuge. He's saying, God is our hiding place. Psalm chapter 32 and verse number 7 says, you are my hiding place and you preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. Selah. Rest and pause and think about God being our hiding place. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse number 10 says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower and the righteous run to it and we're safe. That's where we go and that's where we hide. That is where we run. Because God is our refuge and He is our strength. Do you feel weak? Weak and undone and have no power? Well, God is our strength. We run to Him in our weakness so that we can get strength. We read in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse number 10, be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. And you know, the scripture gives this paradoxical truth that when we are weak, that is when we become strong. If we run to Him in our, as our refuge and He becomes our strength. In fact, let me read Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 to 11. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will boast about my weakness so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well confident with weakness, with insult, with distress, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God is our refuge and He is our strength when we need a hiding place and we need some power in the midst of our impotence. And here the psalmist reminds us that God is a very present help in a time of trouble. What a comforting word there. It's not that God is just a help, and He is a help, but He is a present help. Not just a present help, but a very present help in time of trouble. You remember the disciples were in a boat one time in a great storm. They were in a great trouble. And where was their Lord in the midst of their trouble? He was in the boat with them. He was right there asleep on the cushion. He was right there. He was very, very close to them in the midst of their time of greatest need. Do you know that God is close to us? God is there and He is as close as a prayer. He is right there. Psalm 145 here, Psalm 145 and verse number 18 reminds us that God is near. It says, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. Well, what a great truth to be reminded that God is our refuge and strength, and He is a very present help in time of trouble. And there are great times of trouble. Look at verse 2, but we will not fear though the earth should change, and though the mountains skip into the heart of the sea, and though its waters roar and foam, and though the mountains quake at its swelling pride. These verses describe, I guess, maybe a literal great earthquake. Maybe it's, you know, just descriptive of just the turmoil going on, but here we have this earthquake, this churning of the sea and the mountains quaking and shaking. Well, I tell you, I can't even imagine what the people of Haiti must have felt like when the earthquake hit. And even, you know, today, the helplessness when land is quaking and the storms come and the raining. And imagine the misery, imagine the unsettling nature of that. The earth was changing for them. Now, I do think this is probably talking about the topography of what was going on, but I think our society and our reality in life also feels some changing, some quaking beneath our feet. I mean, I've never felt a big earthquake. It was disturbing enough to feel some little ones that I've felt, but But does it feel to you like our earth is changing? That the ground is shifting? That things are just so much in motion? What do we do in the midst of an earthquake, a literal one, or just the shakings of society? The psalmist says, therefore we will not fear. Wow. Though the earth should change. You know what the antidote to being afraid is? The antidote to being afraid is to fear God. You know, when all of our fears might dissipate a little bit if we really feared God. And we realize that He is God and He is in control. And so even when the mountains quake and shake and are thrown into the heart of the sea, we will not fear. You know, the trembling time is a time of trust. It's a time God gives us to say, will you trust me? Psalm 56 and verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in you. Remember the disciples in the boat and the scared and in the storm, and Jesus was right there with them, and He spoke to the storm, He commanded the storm, and then they didn't fear the storm anymore because they were really scared of Jesus, who could speak to the storm and command the storm, and then they had a proper placed fear. You know, the fear of God would cure us so much of a lot of the fear of the world. And then the psalmist, after he says this in the first three verses, and he goes, Selah. Puts this little, you know, I don't know, musical notation, whatever, a little pause, a little thought to think about this. So stop and ponder this just for a little bit, the psalmist says. Contemplate it. And be confronted with these truths here. Just be quiet for a second. Think about it. In the midst of the quaking and the shaking, if we're quiet, we can start praising. Didn't Paul and Silas do that in a jail cell and in the midst of an earthquake? And they were singing hymns at midnight in prison when the ground started shaking. I wonder what psalm they were singing. I don't know. It could have been that though the mountains skip into the heart of the sea, we will not fear though the earth should change. Maybe they were singing that. Who knows? We ought to take a Selah and take a pause. Well, the psalmist goes on after the Selah, and we read in verse 4 and 5, and there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy dwelling place of the Most High. God is in the midst of her, and she will not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. Here, this section raises our thoughts after we think about God being our refuge and strength, even after the earthquakes and all the changing in society and in the earth itself, and we shouldn't fear in that, and we contemplate it. And now he says, okay, now think about the city of God. The cities around you are shaking. This section, I think, is raising our thoughts to heaven itself. He may be talking about Jerusalem, but I think at least by way of application, he's raising our thoughts to the new Jerusalem. This city whose rivers make glad the city of God. The city of God, where we read in Revelation 22, where there is a river of life flowing through it. Where the tree of life is there, and then the fruit in it is for the healing of the nations. I tell you that it is such an encouragement from the psalmist to lift up our eyes from our broken cities to the city that can never be broken. Verse number 5, the psalmist says that God is in the midst of her and she will not be moved. When the cities of man shake, remember that the city of God is secure. Our unsettling and insecure world should remind us of a sure and a settled heaven. The writer of Hebrews says, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, when everything shakes around us, remember that our kingdom cannot be shaken, and we have a citizenship within heaven, an unshakable heaven that has 12 foundations, and it can never be insecure. Though we live in the midst of insecurity, remember the city of our God. In verse number 6 and 7, it goes on. He says that the nations made an uproar and the kingdoms tottered. He raised his voice and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. Here we see that this turmoil of the nations and the kingdoms, the cause of it is none other than his voice. It is God himself who has raised his voice over the created order and caused this turmoil. The earth melts and kingdoms fall at the command of the King of Kings. It's his voice that does it. Isaiah chapter 2, I think verse 19, it says, God, when he rises to shake the earth. Who is it that causes these things? It's like Jesus in the boat. His voice calls the storm and it calms the storm. Because his voice is the voice of the Creator, and his voice melts the mountains. And we ought to remember that it is his voice. And he says that the Lord of hosts is with us. It is this God, the God that his voice is controlling all this. He is the one that is with us. The Lord of hosts, the God of armies, the God of the Taliban army and the God of the American army. He's the God of all of the armies. And he is the God that is with us. His voice commands what happens upon the earth. And so we can run to him in our refuge. It says that the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Oh, I tell you, we hide in him in the midst of the storm, and we take refuge in the eye of the storm that he has commanded. It's his voice that does this. And so the psalmist again says, Selah. Okay, so stop a little bit. Stop and ponder and think about this just a little bit. Think about the security of heaven above, over against the insecurity that's around here on earth below, and find security in God's sovereignty, that his voice orders all things. Remember this. You know, he's our refuge and strength. We can run to him, and even when the mountains are falling into the sea, we don't have to fear because God is in control of the mountains. And even in all of these desolations and stuff, it is his voice. And he is the God of armies, and he is on our side. Look at verse 8 and 9. Come and behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations on the earth. He makes wars to cease and to come. He makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. And he breaks the bow and he cuts the spear in two. And he burns the chariot with fire. Here the psalmist bids us in his song to open our eyes to see what God has done. Isn't that interesting? Come and behold the works of the Lord. He's singing to us. He's giving us a couple of verses, a couple of Selahs to kind of ponder a little bit. And he says, okay, open your eyes on what's going around and behold what God has done. Maybe this psalm was penned after a great battle and a war, and so you have all of the carnage that is left over and the desolation from the war. Matthew Henry had an awesome little quote. He says, war is a tragedy that commonly destroys the stage that it is acted on. That's what war does. You ever seen pictures of the aftermath of war? And what happens and the effects of war, the death and the carnage, the suffering and the death? And we see these images, and in some way we're revolted, and those images are there to get our attention. Because when we see the images, like on the newscast of what happened in Haiti or what's going on in Afghanistan, God is graciously showing us this thing to come and behold the works of the Lord. You know, we are to observe the desolations and see what God has wrought. A couple of verses, Isaiah chapter 45. Isaiah chapter 45 and verse 6 and 7. Then men may know from the rising to the setting of the sun that there is no one beside me, that I am the Lord and there is no other. The one forming light and creating darkness, causing well-being and creating calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. And then we read in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 verses 13 and 14. Consider the work of God. For who is able to straighten what he has bent? In the day of prosperity be happy. But in the day of adversity consider. God has made the one as well as the other. You know, we see these things and we're so troubled. But he has given us sight of these things so we can behold what God has done. It wasn't long ago, stood at the rim of the Grand Canyon, and wow, our earth is scarred with the work of God. When he sent the flood and driving around, I could envision the waters flowing and carving out the mountains and carving out the earth. So that we could see it and behold what God has done. And then in verse 11 and 12, after we've done some of this beholding, he says, cease striving and know that I am God, and I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted on the earth. The more common rendering in some of your translations is just be still and know that I am God. Remember that God is your refuge and strength. And even though the mountains are being hurled into the heart of the sea, we don't fear, because remember, though it's shaking down here, it's not shaking on earth. And his voice is doing all this. Behold what he has done in these things, and be still and know that I am God. The shocking things that are happening in our world should stop us in our tracks. We should be still. And we should selah a little bit. Contemplate a little bit. Ponder a little bit. The desolation should give us pause. What is God saying here in this? Is he trying to get our attention in some way, I wonder? We are to consider and know in all of this that God is God. As an old theologian of old said, you know, sometimes our God is too small. You know, we often create idols in our own mind and create God in our own image, and we make him out so much smaller and impotent than he is. I tell you, God is not a grumpy old grandpa in the sky wringing his hands, wondering what he's going to do and trying his best to fix things if he could just get it together. God is God. And we are to consider what he is doing. His providence orders and rules over all. We read in Romans 11, 36, that of him, to him, and through him are all things. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so the psalmist ends this in talking about all of this turmoil and where he hides and where his comfort is. And he says, I got to look to God, and I praise God in the midst of this. He is to be exalted among the nations. He is the Lord of hosts, the God of armies. And he is with us as believers. He is our stronghold. That's why we run to Him in all of these things. We are not to look around at the troubling things in our world and to say, where is God? Where is He? I wonder where He is. No, we are to say, behold your God. Look at what He is doing. Maybe He is speaking to us in some way. And so again, he ends by saying, the Lord of hosts is with us, and the God of Jacob is our stronghold. Selah. Selah. Just, okay, amongst all of the noise in society, be quiet for a moment. Sit and think for a moment at what we're seeing, at what we're observing. Consider and ponder that God is our refuge when the earth is reeling. When things are tottering back and forth and hither and yon, and the mountains are being thrown into the sea, and the earth is trembling, and kingdoms are shaking, and cities are falling. God is our refuge and strength. A very present help in the time of trouble. And He is the one that is rising to shake the earth. And so where do we hide? We hide in the midst of the storm, in the eye of the storm that He is commanding. That is where we hide. We consider that the city of God, to which we are eternal citizens, is very secure, even though all the cities of man are shaking. We ponder the things that God has done, the scars of our world and that are on history, and in this present hour should give us pause and cause us to praise Him, because as with Job, He speaks to us out of the storm. Stop and consider. Just take a quiet moment and hear what He has to say. Because of Him, to Him, and through Him are all things. Selah. When we're unsettled, be still and know that God is God, and take refuge in the eye of a storm that He has called, that He commands, and that He can calm. I mean, this is our hope. This is our refuge. We belong to the God of creation. And we are so firm, or firmly held secure in His hand. I mean, I would imagine many of you, as I am, are, you know, heartbreaking and torn, and, you know, I feel helpless. I can't affect change. I can't do anything about all of this. What do I do? Where do I go? I go to Him. Who controls all of this. Again, for our invitation today, I want to again call us to prayer. I want us to cry out to our God, the Lord of armies, the one who controls the planet that He created. And might our hearts, might we just cry out to Him and run to Him, because He is our hiding place. And let's lift up our eyes to heaven for Him to act in our behalf here on earth. And so you can, again, pray where you're seated. You can stand. You can raise your hands. You can fall down. You can get on your knees. The posture is not important. It's that God is our refuge and strength. And a very present help in a time of trouble. And so let's end our time with a time of prayer. Father, we praise you because you alone are God. And by the power of your Spirit, work within us to be acceptable worshipers found only in your Son. And Father, take away our fear of all the troubling things in our world, and by your mercy cause it to be placed upon you. Lord, might we be God-fearing people and your courageous followers and helpers in this world. We thank you for hearing our prayers, for holding us in your hand, and give us the confidence that you will never let us go. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. And now to him who is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we can ask or imagine, to him be glory and power now and forevermore. Amen and amen.